When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I've often talked about how much of a pay-per-view buyer I am. Take that any way you want it, but I'll tell you how I take it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fastest VPN on the planet, global server network, all that good stuff. That's great. But a big reason why I got NordVPN.com/Fightful is all the pay-per-views I buy, all the money we're spending. We're trying to control costs as a company, as a household. You can get those UFC pay-per-views at a fraction of the price you're paying here in America. Plus, you can get all kinds of great content that you wouldn't normally see thanks to those services as well. Shows that are on overseas services, things that you want to watch a little bit early so you get on that UK time and watch them. Being able to change the interfaces of things like the WWE Network. Maybe you don't like Peacock, anything like that. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that ability while having the fastest VPN on the planet. Also, you just get so much more out of your internet experience with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fight and AEW Plus. Watch AEW without commercials. Watch bare knuckle boxing. Watch UFC pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views at the rates they're getting over in the UK. Change your virtual location with just one click. And hey, if you need any help using it, they got that 24/7 tech support. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is April 6, 2024. It's WrestleMania night one. I'm relatively fresh off the plane. Fresh, again, very relative term. I'm exhausted. It's been a long week. We've been on the scene in Philadelphia covering the show. Denise is there. Reg, Phil, Iridian, Riccicino, Kate. We got all kinds of people there on the scene. So I'm rocking solo tonight. However, I've passed along a link if any of them want to give a bit of a live recounting of how things happened. We'll be talking about that as well as all the happenings for WrestleMania Night 1. All of the exclusive news that you're going to want as reported on FightfulSelect.com. Myself and Corey Brennan with the help of Rob Wilkins. Thank you to him for helping piece together some of these articles. We've been putting out news all week on FightfulSelect.com. Check it out. The best $5 in the business. That's where the majority of the wrestling news comes from these days. FightfulSelect.com. In addition to a great Discord, I'm going to be over there a whole lot more than Twitter immediately. It's already started this week. So we're talking WrestleMania. We're going to talk another news story that I just got messaged about. And if it actually unfolds within the hour, as suggested to me, we'll be talking about it. But be pretty wild if it did. But you'll know what I'm talking about if and when it happens. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Subscribe. If you're new to Fightful, we're here almost every night. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, TNA, ROH, my gosh, AEW Dynamite and Collision. We've got so many different shows. Not only do we have the best paywalled content, we have more free content than any wrestling website that has ever existed. So welcome. Please join us. We have a great community here. And we are very, very excited to hang out with so many of you, talk some pro wrestling. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. It would mean an awful lot. And I want to go ahead and thank our great moderators, especially Luis, who is in the chat, making sure that all these super chats, humper chats are accumulated and accrued. And I also want to thank our wonderful sponsor right here, FOCO, the greatest event in all of sports entertainment is back. If you're looking to bring your favorite WWE superstars to your living room, we've got the perfect items to snag. FOCO launched their XL bobbleheads of Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Cody Rhodes earlier today in Fightful, as you covered. Right here, I have Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Jake the Snake Roberts. I did a contest on my Twitter today to guess the entrance time, and I'm going to send out one of these to a lucky winner. However, you click the link in our bio. Be sure to use the code FIGHTFUL10. That's FIGHTFUL10 at checkout. Receive 10% off your order at checkout on in-stock bobbleheads on their website. We're so proud to have FOCO as the official wrestling collectible company as our exclusive bobblehead sponsorship for Mania Weekend. FOCO is the leading manufacturer of sports and entertainment merchandise, celebrating more than 20 years in the industry. Company's always growing their product lines, and it includes apparel, accessories, toys, collectibles, novelty items, and more. It's licensed with the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, NASCAR, MLS, and of course, WWE. Make sure you click the link in our description and grab your officially licensed WWE bobbleheads now and find your fandom with FOCO. Guys, we will work on getting slow mode on. It should have been there already. Luis, I hate to tell you, I can't log in and do that from here, but I believe in you. I think our team is going to have this one covered. I think they'll do all right. Let's talk about WrestleMania. Oh my God. What a show, what a weekend. And tomorrow is going to be pretty newsworthy by the looks of it, at least as predicted. The common line of thinking is, well, whoever wins tonight loses tomorrow, etc. But I'm excited to see what this means. It seemed like this week there was a real establishment of, hey, this is a new era. This is completely different. This is a change from what we have seen in years past in WWE. This is not Vince's WWE. We had a report on FightfulSelect.com about how excited everybody was for a Vince-less WrestleMania. And I can tell you the energy in the city was definitely one of positivity. Just Mask Does Wrestling says, God, that crowd was horrible. Well, Just Mask Does Wrestling, I'm not going to fault them. It was frigid there. Trey Sherman says, happy my Julia prediction was mostly true. Just need that Rossi WWE announcement. I wouldn't doubt that announcement at all. It wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, Julia, Corey Brennan did some great reporting there. But man, I had gotten word last year that some sports agents were told that they didn't, like, she didn't need a rep. And that's unusual for a talent like that. So it seemed like she already knew what her next move was. Jake says NordVPN is a life changer. Thanks so much to Sean. I don't promote products that we don't like or believe in or don't work. NordVPN really helps us out. But I'll tell you something I was excited about. Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. Fightful had predicted this one. And also, shout out to our partners at Bet Online. They correctly had Rhea Ripley as a heavy favorite in this match. Check out Bet Online. I'll shill them a little bit later. Let's talk about this match. Because 5 months ago, this match looked like almost a foregone conclusion as a main event of WrestleMania, right? Like before CM Punk rolled in and before The Rock rolled in, it looked like Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley were in a situation where they very well could be the main event of WrestleMania. And you know, if what we saw at the end of WrestleMania would have opened the show, you know, I mean, I'm sure some people would have had some emo feelings over that, considering that it really climaxed at the right time. But Rhea Ripley has done such incredible work as this multifaceted performer. She's not just a wrestler in the ring. She's one of the top managers in the company because of Judgment Day. So she has earned her spot, and it's like the second straight year where maybe people thought she would main event and the Bloodline story takes over. I feel like that's going to open up a little bit more next year. And let's be real, she's got a lot of years ahead of her. I didn't really have a doubt that Rhea Ripley was going to win this. Also, the band playing her out was really, really good. Like, it worked out really well. Pardon me. You'll hear me muting here and there with the allergy-induced asthma I'm getting as the seasons change. But Becky Lynch had a book-inspired entrance as well. A reminder, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. I didn't mention that. If you want your question or statement read on the air, or you want me to reveal some backstage info about something, donate a super chat here at YouTube.com humperchats.com/fightful. And you can go to humperchats.com. That's humperchats.com. Get those in. Support the show. Eloquent says he thought the show was all right. I was of that same feeling. There was some stuff I really, really liked on this show. But I can tell you one thing. I'm happy they split it up into two nights. And I think the way that they sandwiched this show was awfully good. A big-time women's title match that I thought delivered. And that's with Becky Lynch having battled strep throat throughout the week. Like, that's brutal. And then Rhea Ripley has had some sort of wrist guard on. I haven't yet found out the severity of that, but she's worked right through it. And not only has she worked through it, she hasn't missed any TV or anything like that either. So, I mean, the level of work that, and I'm talking house shows, man. You know, she ain't wrestling Raw or SmackDown, but she's wrestling house shows all the time with this wrist brace on leading into WrestleMania. So I can't speak to the severity of it, but I can tell you that she continued putting that work in. KE775 says, wow, sorry. My seat fell a little bit there. Says, does Becky turn heel or stay the course? Now it feels like she's at a pivot point. It does feel like she's at a pivot point, or she might need to reach a pivot point. But I also feel like it's dependent on if this story continues. If for some reason they continue this, as opposed to going with the option that is right there, which is Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley, because you know, there were a lot of people saying put Liv in the match, etc. I don't think that would have fit necessarily, because I think they were setting that up for after this, because there is a natural story for Liv and Rhea Ripley. However, Becky and what she does next, I think, is dependent on the attitude that we're going to see out of her, and if there is a pivot point. Because if she continues with Rhea Ripley, well, I think Rhea Ripley's just going to continue to get cheered. And I don't know how it continues after a clean loss like that. And listen, you could not tell that Becky Lynch was sick here. Becky Lynch has been on the best run of her in-ring career since she returned from since being a mother. It's been an unbelievable run. And she keeps killing it. I love the Riptide spot into the corner as well. I'm a big fan of the prison trap, the gorilla clutch. I liked her. I liked Rhea doing the body scissors off of that too. That was a great thing where the wrestling audience is conditioned to see the prism trap, but they're not conditioned to see it altered or anything like that. That's like why when Jericho does the Walls of Jericho and then he turns it into the Lion Tamer, people go, ooh, okay. A little bit different than what we've seen before. And I think that that's important to do as you evolve, as people kind of get used to what you do. We saw Becky going for the manhandle slam off the middle rope as well. But I mean, Rhea continues to deliver at a main event level. Becky always delivers at a main event level as well. And this is a match that before Survivor Series, I was sold on being a main event. And I think it is a main event quality match. It's just the unfortunate scenario of, you know, Punk comes back, The Rock comes back, and they don't get their main event. Love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. When or who could you see Rhea Ripley main eventing against? Because Bianca Belair is a common sense one. If Jade happens to like really take to the ring in WWE style, perhaps her. But Bianca is the one that makes an awful lot of sense right now, especially if they can heat her up big time, which I've got great things to say about that match. I'll tell you something else I have great things to say about this ladder match. I want to hear your guys' favorite spots. Let me know your favorite spots of this match, because this was insane. But before we get into that, by the way, Awesome Truth were favored to win this in the Bet Online odds. The interesting thing about this opening it up was, a lot of people were going, okay, is this how they split the titles? And they sort of mentioned that on Raw, but it was in one of those, okay, will they things? And then they did. And Austin Theory, Grayson Waller ended up winning a set. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me talk about another thing that I like that WWE has done, besides just the incredible production in general. The set looked great. Visually, it looks great. I know a lot of you don't like the ads on the mats and stuff like that, but listen, it's a very smart business move to do that and to do the ringside stuff. I think we're going to see people painted up like NASCAR eventually. It's about making money for them, and that's what they're going to do. However, Pretty Deadly are a type of act that you want your casual fans to see. And, you know, we hear a lot about the fabled casual fan. I hate to tell you, the casual fan is not watching Raw, is not watching SmackDown. They're watching WrestleMania, though. All kinds of people watch WrestleMania. And you want an act like Pretty Deadly featured to those people, because they'll look at them and go, oh, those guys are funny. Those guys are charming. Those guys are charismatic. So they had Pretty Deadly running down the list of teams. And I thought that was great. Like, I mean, I can tell you that I went to wrestling shows with a couple of friends of mine who are casual wrestling fans. And one of them really, really took to Pretty Deadly. So I'm not really that surprised. Not really that surprised. But I also liked how they worked JD McDonagh in this, because JD, even though he's not, you know, not the featured player in Judgment Day, and he's probably fifth on their depth chart as far as what they put him on importance on Raw, he still worked his ass off, man. He's still killing it. And he's still a part of that group. And he was a big part of R-Truth continuing to get over. And I don't think that can be understated, how JD McDonagh and how unlikable his character was really helped out R-Truth, because it couldn't just be Damian Priest or Finn Balor or anybody like that. So I thought that was really cool. But man, the spots in this match, holy crap. That Johnny Gargano tornado DDT, or it was the leaping DDT through the table onto Dunn. Unfreaking real. JD McDonagh took one of the most beautiful, beautiful bumps through a table that I have ever seen. He fell off a ladder and flipped through it. Unfreaking real. Just incredible stuff. Gosh, what else was there? Oh, the R-Truth pin. R-Truth tagging in. It was so... Somebody says, what's his character being a human Funko Pop? Come on now. Check out my 90-second interview I dropped with Cody last week, where he said he's very glad more people are talking about that. But I kind of feel like you need a ladder match each year for something crazy. I think each night of WrestleMania, you need the car crash match. And I honestly thought that the other car crash match was going to be the LWO Legato thing. However, we saw why that wasn't. But I think that the final testament and the pride tomorrow will be that. I think it's going to be a sirloin beef sons of bitches version of what we just saw here. There were just so many cool things here. Oh, I'll tell you a spot that I loved. Kofi climbing up the ladder and then doing the faith drop, or the faith fall, or the leap of faith, whatever the hell it's called. KE775 says, do we see Damian Priest tomorrow? So here's what I thought would happen. I thought that they would take Damian Priest out in such a manner that would make you go, oh, well, he ain't coming back tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like that would give it an excuse, give them an excuse not to have him in there. So A-Town Down Under, when the SmackDown tag team titles, and then that's where it's established. Oh, you got to go up and get another one. You got to go up and get another one. Waller gets sent to the table, or the ladder rather. And eventually R-Truth and Miz go up there and get them. And Judgment Day was starting to slide in. So the psychology of Finn Balor and Damian Priest really should be put over as well, because I'm sure they see R-Truth struggling to get that thing off there, but they have to make it look like there's some element of fear, some threat there. They slide into the ring, but R-Truth gets it. Man, that was a hell of a match. And again, you need the car crash. This is a variety show. So already you've got a great women's world championship match. You've got the car crash. Up next, you've got the celebrity. You've got the more emotional story after that. I thought it was a fair mix. Adrian Wells getting in that super chat. Reminder, guys, get those super chats. Get those humper chats in. Adrian Wells says, great night one. Rhea versus Becky match of the night. How have you been, friend? I've been good. Again, dealing with these seasonal allergies, running on almost no sleep. But listen, I'm back home now. That means one thing. I'm going to start getting that sleep. I'm not here right now. I'm on the road. And I'll tell you, the thing I miss most is helixsleep.com/Fightful. When I do travel, I'm always worried about the night's sleep I'm going to get, but I don't have to worry about that at home. A few years ago, before there was a helixsleep.com/Fightful, I went to Helix Sleep. I was tired of the mattress I was sleeping on, and I got matched up to the right one for me at helixsleep.com. And now we've partnered with them for helixsleep.com/Fightful. You take a quick quiz. You don't have to go into a mattress store. They will match up the right one for you with their 14 unique mattress models. I went from just being able to sleep on my back to also being able to sleep on my side, which goes such a long way in keeping you asleep, making sure that you're rested, and your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. There's a 100-night risk-free trial. So if you don't like it for some reason, you're getting a full refund and they'll come pick it up for you. And now they're offering up to $350 off all mattress orders at helixsleep.com/Fightful and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Fightful. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Contrary to that ad read, I am actually here. I mean, that studio is right there, but you know, that's one that I had set up for when we're on the road. I'm not going to make you sit through a completely different one, though, even though I messed up and ran the wrong one. Drew DeC says, sponsors and production of the show was awesome. They're getting very creative about how they integrate them. And I mean, what we haven't seen, at least in recent months, is like, you know, the Mountain Dew Pitch Black and the zombie stuff, like the ones that affect the quality of the show. You know what I mean? Like, you never want your sponsors to come at the sacrifice of the show in which they paid to be on. It's one thing to integrate them into the matches, but it's another thing to compromise the integrity and quality of the program that fans are tuning into, because that's what your sponsors are paying for. I think they've done a really, really good job. Chi-Town Spurs says, they spent all week burying AEW's business model, focusing on wrestling matches. After tonight, I see why. They want to make wrestling the least important part of the show. Like, listen, I really, really enjoy WWE these days, and I generally really enjoy AEW, and I enjoy them in much different ways. And that's it. There are things that I don't like about WWE. There's things I don't like about AEW. I wish they'd turn up the damn lights in AEW so you could see more. You could see the crowd. You could do that. I think that WWE does sometimes put too much of a focus on the promo and the entrance as opposed to in-ring. But you know what? We got a variety. We got a lot of choices. We got a lot of options right now. A lot of stuff that there's something for everyone. I don't get the people that hate watch. You know what I mean? Like the day that even in like 2019, when the show was really, really bad, I still would have rather covered pro wrestling than do anything else. But I just don't get the people that are just so weird about it. Gorilla Press, my good friend, man, it was so great to see you today. It was so great to see you today. I had to catch my flight, but he says, hey, Sean, good seeing you. Well, it's great to see you as well. Nice studio. I'm working on it. I got the new sign, guys. What do you guys think about the sign? Look, I got it, and look, I can turn it up real bright or down low. But look, I got to figure out lighting a little bit better because my two Elgato lights over there kind of reflect off of this. So I got to figure out a way to work on that. I'm not the best with production, but damn it, I'm trying for you guys, okay? I'm doing my best. Doing my best. He says, you couldn't even tell they cut 11 million or whatever the number was. What does he mean by that? Luis, can you let me know in the document? Because I'm not sure about that. Now, admittedly, outside of the things that I've reported and Corey have reported, I'm a little bit detached over the last few days because, man, we were going all over the place. GCW, WWE World. I worked a Monster Factory show. Gosh, just all over the place. But Yeah, I'd like to know a little bit more about that. Adrian, Tony, thank you for your super chats and for becoming a member. Scott says, hey, SRS, I work 3-12 schedule starting Saturdays into Tuesday. Want to say thanks for helping me catch up on all things wrestling and more. Listening to you and special guest host number one makes the 12 hours easier. That makes me so happy. And I always come back from these trips with a real sense of joy because I always meet so many people that say really, really nice things about us. And that is never lost on me. It is never lost on me that you guys are either spending your money or your time to support us. And that's something that people don't have a lot of these days. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you guys an awful lot. Very, very glad to have you guys here and to be able to hang with you guys. Let's check out the odds of what else was on there. So Rhea Ripley was right on the money from BetOnline AG. Oh, we do have an underdog that won as well. Okay. I thought maybe Jimmy Uso would end up getting the win, even though Jay's white hot. Oh, here we go. The one I told you guys to put money on, even though at the time it was Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. They were plus 170 underdogs with our partner BetOnline AG, 25 years of history, the highest bet limits. You know, they're great. They're great. But they were that was the one underdog that I kept saying, guys, put money on this one. And there was a reason I felt that way. Earlier this week, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, reported that Jason Kelce of the Philadelphia Eagles, formerly the Philadelphia Eagles, would be involved in WrestleMania or he'd been contacted for WrestleMania. I find out about Wednesday, as we reported tonight, he trained at the Monster Factory on Wednesday, as well as Lane Johnson of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the reason why I connected it to this match specifically, one, if Jason Kelce's involved, whoever he's involved with is going to win that match. Period. Because Jason Kelce has helped sell out that stadium a bunch of times. He is about as famous as NFL centers get. The offensive linemen are largely unnamed to the casual fan, but he's a very successful guy. And the reason why I thought, well, he would be involved with Rey Mysterio is because 2 months ago, after he had retired, he celebrated his brother Travis's Super Bowl win, which is likely a fluke, but he celebrated it by partying in a Rey Mysterio mask. And I know WWE was very happy about that. They told me they were very happy about it. They sold some masks off of that. So to me, I was like, okay, this is an underdog over at BetOnline AG that's going to win. So I know that some of the bets got canceled when they were with Dragon Lee, but then it got switched to Andrade. And yeah, I was surprised to see that switch based on the story that we had. And I'm working to find out a little bit more about the Dragon Lee element of it. But I mean, Andrade is killing it since he's been back. He played the hits. He went 100 miles an hour. Dominic is a guy that Finn Balor and Damian Priest spoke to me at length about him yesterday was when I did the junket. And they're like, you know, he went from being Rey Mysterio's son and now Rey Mysterio is Dominic's father. And I thought that was a wonderful thing to say. And it's not like the novelty that it used to be, right? Like he's perfectly serviceable in the ring for what he does. He knows his strengths and weaknesses and he's super over as a character. So, yeah, I'm no longer, after years, I'm like, okay, Dominic is an effective part of this brand. This was the match that I thought was going to be a car crash type of match. And we did see some of that, like when the peripheral parties of Legato and LWO got involved, we did see some of that. But it wasn't quite what I thought. And I mean, that's okay, considering that they had the ladder match just right before this as well. But Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, jump over the ropes. I think Pat McAfee called them Gene Boys. And then they unmask and reveal who they are. And the crowd loved them, of course. Made an awful lot of sense. We had a good report on FightfulSelect.com about Jason Kelce how they got him involved as well. Drodacy sent a super chat, said, do you think we're getting new tag team title belts? We should, because we have had some element of like these title belts or some version of these rounded belts for, oh, it's got to be like 12 or 13 years since the copper penny stuff that we're dealing with, right? Like, it's been quite a while with the same general design. And I think it's time for something to be updated. I don't necessarily need to see that. We've got a super chat saying Tony Storm would have been a star in this era of WWE. Yeah, I think so too. Just Marquis says, my honest opinion, the show was inconsistent. I found that there was a lack of speed and energy in some matches, mostly due to the crowd. When people were supposed to be the wrestling capital of Philly. I mean, I don't fault them. Tonight, I don't fault them. Probably tomorrow night, I'm not going to fault them. Why are we still running open-air stadiums in the Northeast in April? Why are we doing that? It's cold, man. It's cold. Thank God, assuming it's Minneapolis, as FightfulSelect.com has reported. At least there's a dome there, right? I mean, the outdoor weather is definitely going to be horrible next April in Minnesota. But at least there's a dome. So I can't sit there and fault the people. Because, I mean, even they were bringing it up on commentary. And under Vince, that's a thing that would have never happened. They would have never been able to complain about that. Except for Tampa Bay, that was a bit of a different one. Because you couldn't ignore a rain delay, right? You couldn't ignore it. Was it me or did the crowd sound altered at times? It sounded like once some chants came through, they would turn it up, which is common practice. B Sweet says, love this pacing over two nights. So that's what I wanted to read that one after Just Marquise, is because I don't disagree with Just Marquise about the show feeling inconsistent, lack of speed and energy. However, Marquise, I'd be interested to know if you feel the same way, like if you're at least more optimistic about it because of the nights being split up. Because I certainly am. Like, it felt like a okay for something hours, right? Like 4 hours, 15 minutes with it starting at 7. I'm so glad they started it at 7 instead of 8. That made an awful lot of sense to me. I think that was a solid move. And never, never go back to one night if you're doing that many matches. Canadian Omega says, WrestleMania 40 feels like the coolest since 35. Been following AEW more since 2019, but I feel like I can actually enjoy both now. New team, new production team rocks. The new production team does rock. The way that I've said this is there have been no situations since Christmas when Kevin Dunn left where I've said, you know what? I miss Kevin Dunn. We really needed him back for that. However, there have been numerous times that I've said, thank God Kevin Dunn isn't here. Thank God they got somebody else. Thank God. Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso. This was the one I saw a lot of people going, not for me. This was very much the Bloodline style dramatic match type of thing. And they clearly had the slow build since the split, but there was so much that didn't make sense, right? The will he, won't he, is he leaving? Did he leave? Oh, but now Jimmy's back in the Bloodline for no good reason. Then Jimmy said, the only reason I left was because of Jay. No, Jimmy left on his own, man. So that didn't necessarily make a ton of sense to me. Didn't really resonate with me there, but I was excited to see the match, and it was just okay. It was just all right. I mean, it wasn't bad or anything. I loved the dueling strikes there. I really, really liked that, where it would go yeet, no yeet, yeet, no yeet. That worked really well. Like, that's something that WWE really invested in, really put some stake into. And then there we go. I was pretty shocked that the crowd, part of the crowd chanted no yeet. I didn't really expect that to happen. But the match, other than that, wasn't for me, man. It just wasn't. It didn't hit. And the brother versus brother matches rarely do, right? Matt and Jeff didn't quite get there. And like, for some reason, it's like actual brothers. Edge and Christian, they pull it off. Kane and Undertaker have pulled it off. I'm interested. Does anybody have like a favorite brother versus brother match that actually happened and ended up being good? I would really like to know. This one did not do it for me. I think 11 minutes was the right amount of time for it, though. Like, I thought that it was timed appropriately. I thought a lot of these matches were timed really appropriately. Oh, Bret and Owen. Duh. Okay. Of course, Bret and Owen. Listen, don't strike me here. Bret and Owen. Duh. Obviously. For sure. Bret and Owen. My bad, y'all. Why doesn't one more person tell me Bret and Owen? Cody and Dustin was another one. Cody and Dustin was one of the best matches I've ever seen in person. The Briscoes have pulled it off. On a big WWE stage, Bret and Owen might be the only one on a big WWE stage. Because in AEW and ROH, they got a lot of blood to work with. Brandon is saying, Matt and Jeff from 25 is very fun. Really cool finish with a twist of fate into the chair. Yeah, but the buildup to that was so bad. It was so bad. Like talking about burning dogs and stuff and setting houses on fire and shit. Oh, brother. But this match followed up it was effectively the celebrity match. And the tag match wasn't that great. The Legado LWO match. The Jimmy and Jay match wasn't that great. However, I liked the next match way more than other people are saying. Michael says that Jimmy and Jay was beyond underwhelming. Yeah. Yeah, I got to agree with that. Was there any backlash towards Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame speech? I'm sure they weren't exactly stoked that he said some of the stuff that he said, but I mean, it's also his night. Like, come on. Come on. What else do we got? Luis, please give me an update on that, on the scheduling of that story I was talking about earlier. I mean, maybe we go live again later. Maybe we go live again later. Leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. We would greatly appreciate you guys. Again, I want to shout out our great partners at BetOnline.com. We've gotten all of our odds from Bet Online ever. And then last year, I was like, I got to work with these guys. These are the dudes that I want to be in business with. And let's take a look at their lines. They correctly had Roman Reigns and The Rock as heavy favorites. Man, Rhea Ripley was a heavy favorite over Becky Lynch. You got Jey Uso beating Jimmy Uso. They were right there as well. But for everybody saying, as everybody's looking in the chat, listen, if it goes unedited, you guys will see it tonight. But Bianca, Jade, Naomi, also big favorites from Bet Online. But there were a couple underdogs that won. Sami Zayn and then Rey Mysterio as well. Like when people say, oh, you can bet on wrestling? Hell yeah, you can bet on wrestling. Bet Online AG. They have been trusted for over 25 years. They have the highest credit card acceptance. They've got all kinds of games. Plus, you can bet on any sport. Now, we want you to bet responsibly and only bet what you can. MLB, NCAA, UFC. Not only that, they've got Blackjack, Plinko, Rush. They got all kinds of stuff. You can also compare their competitors right there on the site, and their payouts happen in minutes. Check them out. Bet Online AG. So now we're looking at WrestleMania, where I had told you guys, you know what? Bet Rey Mysterio. Bet Rey Mysterio. People are saying, what is the big news? I didn't say, listen, stop putting words in my mouth. I can't just be like, anything without people. Well, let me give you an example. I said there would be something. Somebody asked if, is anything surprising going to happen on Dynamite? And I said, yeah, I heard of at least one thing that seems like it's going to happen. It was the Trent Beretta turn. They've been together for years. And then when that happened, people are like, that was it? That was it? Well, my God, guys, not everything is going to be CM Punk. I didn't tease shit twice. Somebody's sitting here saying, you teased it twice. It's got to be something. It is something. It is something if it happens. Because I got a random ass text message about this. And here's what I'll say. I can't possibly believe that this would really happen. But if it does, boy, would it be entertaining. Anyway.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular price order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What do we got? Somebody said, but you said you might go live again. Well, I mean, if it's interesting enough, I don't know. I don't know, guys. Listen, stop cyberbullying me, guys. Stop doing it. Stop it. Have you no shame? No. Somebody's saying someone just told Sean Cody's losing tomorrow. That is not the case. I don't know any of the results for tomorrow. Sincerely, I don't. I'll tell you guys this. If this week comes and goes and this thing isn't real, I'll tell you guys what it was. There you go. It'd just be something that I'd be surprised if it actually happens. God almighty. I love you guys. I really do. Greg says, solid night one. Thanks for everything, Sean. Greg, it was wonderful to meet you. It was really great. Will Chisholm says, do you know if Julia is legit signed with WWE? She's expected to be. So he says, please be more vague. Man, I got to be careful. I used to be able to just say whatever. Now I don't say stuff and people misrepresent it. But do I know if Julia's legit signed with WWE? We're working on that. Corey Brennan's working on it as well. He says, I know other talent left Stardom to work with Rossi. What does that mean if Rossi works for WWE or maybe worked with WWE? So I want to clarify that because when Rossi was on his way out of Stardom, I had actually heard that was coming a couple days before. And the people that I talked to in AEW were of the belief that Rossi was going to work with WWE in some capacity. Now, I can tell you that they at least believed it was like some sort of creative capacity. And I just haven't heard that. Now, I wouldn't doubt that there could be like a feeder system or something like that. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Rossi in some. And I would imagine Rossi probably also worked out the deal for Julia, although I don't have that confirmed. I don't have that completely confirmed. People saying MJF. No, MJF is with AEW. He's with AEW, unless somehow he got a release, which I highly doubt that they would do. He's an integral part of their roster. And I think he really likes it there as well. That's funny. Should I just keep dropping hints? I'm not gonna. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi defeated Damage Control. So this one was a slam dunk. They were the biggest favorites on the entire show from BetOnline AG. And the reason is, one, Bianca is like Mrs. WrestleMania. And this is probably the least prominently featured person that, or at least prominently featured spot for her. But it's also prominent in other ways. And CM Punk brought this up on the kickoff show about how it is three black women that are going to motivate a lot of people that look like them and have their backgrounds to get into wrestling. And Big E, man, I loved it because he was like, let's also show some respect to Jazz and Jacqueline and people who paved the way. God, I love that. Man, Big E is a great dude. And holy shit. That entrance, man. That entrance was so breathtaking, so great. Jade, Bianca, and Naomi looked like stars. Now, again, there is a lot of talk of the casual fan. The casual fan who somehow would take a look at wrestling and be like, you know, that thing that almost everybody likes. Well, I hate that. That's not cool to me. Okay. Well, guess what? Then they probably don't reflect the best interest of your show. If they don't reflect the best interest of the majority of your audience, well, probably not what you should cater to. I find it interesting that so many old heads say, oh, well, they cater to a niche on the internet. But then what we're supposed to cater to, a niche of people that don't exist, that aren't fans. I'm sorry, I don't get it. No, you want to cater to wrestling fans. You just want to book good wrestling. Book good wrestling. Crazy 101 says, can you once again confirm MJF's in AEW? He is. But this is a night where a lot of casual fans are watching. It's a night where a lot of girlfriends and wives and partners and, you know, relatives are watching with the wrestling fans because they want to check it out. It's an event, right? And Jade, Bianca, and Naomi came across as such celebrated big stars in this entrance. And I think that is pretty damn cool. I think that's great. Damage Control looked incredible. James Higgins says, Asuka lost again. But it was the first year WWE acknowledged Asuka's now 0-6 losing streak. Under Triple H, it seems like such mentions are done as foreshadowing. Charlotte, Asuka, title career next Mania. I think that would be pretty cool. Again, I don't want to necessarily put a timetable on anybody because you never know how somebody's healing up. And that's like, with Charlotte, it's like, man, she tore an awful lot of shit in her leg. So just get well soon, Charlotte, first off. But they brought up that New Day had never won a WrestleMania match. They brought up that DIY had never been in WrestleMania. They brought up that R-Truth had never won one. So, yeah. I thought Jade did fine here. I loved Bianca busting out the hair whip. Loved that. Jade did fine here. I enjoyed this match a lot more than everybody else did because I saw some people giving it crap. But I also tweeted Bianca, or it's Jade. I mean, Bianca probably fits as well. But Jade doesn't look like a superhero. Superheroes look like Jade Cargill. This is fun. I thought this was fine. Reminder, guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. If you're watching after the fact, leave a nice comment. Also, if you want to help us and you don't feel like subscribing or going to Fightful Select, we've got audio platforms everywhere. Apple, Amazon, all that good stuff. If you wouldn't mind, leave us a nice 5-star review. That helps us out a lot. We are primarily a video platform across X, across YouTube. So, it helps when you do that with the audio stuff as well. Crazy 101 says, Roman kicked out someone for booing him at the press conference. Listen. I would have to see that, but if that's, first off, you shouldn't be booing or cheering at a media conference. Have some decorum there. Like no cheering in the press box. I know wrestling's a little bit differently, but I don't know. I've got a pretty wide view of media in that sense. Everybody's there to get their content, all that, but like, come on. Be a pro while doing that, at least. You can sneak something fun in every so often. Michael Hoff says, everything beyond Rhea and Becky was a bummer. They should pump the brakes before touting a new era. I don't think they should pump the brakes before touting a new era, because I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, this is a Vinceless era. And that's what they're saying as well. Because from a story standpoint, at least most of this stuff is going to make sense. At least most of this stuff is going to be cohesive from a programming standpoint. They care about what happened a couple weeks ago, whereas Vince didn't. And the stuff Vince cared about was pretty friggin' disgusting stuff. But also, I can't tell you how many times people would tell me, oh, well, Vince booked this match because he liked it, and then he just did it over again because he liked it and forgot about it. Well, I mean, I just look at that and I'm like, we're well past that at least. I want to like the show. I go into all these shows wanting to like them. I'm not going to go into any program. Listen, I love Alex Palowski, but I'm not looking to be upset and bothered and disliking this show. That's Alex's thing. He's very good at it, but I want to enjoy it and I want to have a good time, and I'm going to go in not necessarily with a clean slate, cautiously optimistic in that sense, but I think it's fair to tout a new era. I think it's fair. John Taylor says, do you think moving Mania to May would help with the weather issue at an open stadium? Would WWE ever consider that for the right market? Yeah, I think so. I mean, they moved SummerSlam to July at one point. Did they do Rumble in February ever? I know they thought about it at least once, if they didn't. But I think anything's possible. It is a mainstay, however, in April or March. But I think really April is definitely the best. If you want to move it back to like late April or something, why not do that? But for the right market and the right amount of money, like if a market comes along and spends a lot of money to get those rights and they're like, okay, let's do it, then WWE is all about the money right now. What's the word on Uncle Howdy's return? So I just want to make this clear. I don't know if it's Uncle Howdy. I could assume. But FightfulSelect.com did report that, in fact, the tease at the end of the Bray Wyatt documentary, which was, oh man, incredibly emotional, was in fact a tease for the, I don't want to say upcoming, the eventual return of Bo Dallas. So those of you that have been asking about that, it looks like that is on the way. The way that Bo talked in that documentary seemed like they were working on something like to honor Bray in that sense. You know what I mean? And maybe that's me. I try to not be in the assuming business because if you assume, especially in wrestling, especially with workers and stuff. But this seems like one that they were hinting at an awful lot within that documentary. And I don't think that they would play with the emotions of fans like that. So, yeah. Have you heard anything about Motor City Machine Guns? I know there was some interest in AEW, or I don't want to say from AEW. There were some pitches internally, all that, but you know, they are in a unique position in that TNA is offering different kind of deals right now. They aren't in the position where they should have to take deals like that. They could be booked heavily and wherever they wanted on the indies and however often they want. If they wanted to work full-time in Orlando at the PC, they'd probably have that option as well. So I think they have an awful lot of options right now. Hushes says, in your opinion, why do they produce the Usos like that? I think because that method has worked for them, that's why they did that. And right now, I'll give you guys some news on from FightfulSelect.com. I'll tell you who produced each match as we work our way through this. This is something you can get at FightfulSelect.com nonstop. And by the way, if my review isn't enough for you, we got the Sour Graps review as well. TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd produced the very good Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley match. No surprise there. The ladder match was produced by Janie Noble, Kenny Dykstra. The LWO Legato match produced by Abyss and Shane Helms. Jimmy J. Uso was by Jason Jordan. So a lot of the Bloodline stuff had been produced by Michael Hayes, and if not him, usually Michael Hayes and Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode helps him out quite a bit with those. And Michael Hayes has had co-producers on an awful lot of stuff in the past as well. I don't know if it's a Jason Jordan style thing, but I mean, I'm sure that these two guys have had a vision of how their match would go for a long time. I can't imagine that's how they envisioned it going, right? Can't imagine that. Oh boy, let's talk about this incredible freaking Intercontinental title match. This match ruled. It was emotional. It was special. It was hard hitting. It was what it needed to be. And it had what it needed to have. And I can tell you something else that you need to have.
You know, Fightful and Blue Chew have been at it a long time. Maybe you've been at it a long time. Maybe you're lacking that motivation. Maybe you're lacking that confidence. You don't think you have what you once had. Blue Chew is here to get you there. BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. You'll get your first shipment free of what? Well, it's a chewable tablet that has the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so it gets your performance ready to go. It's prescribed online. It ships straight to your door. You do an online consultation, and if approved, you'll be back to that main event level performance. Sometimes it's not even about performance. It's about that confidence. And Blue Chew is going to make sure that you have that. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. What is there to lose? BlueChew.com and the code Fightful.
Oh my God. Sami Zayn beat Gunther. How many days was the reign, Luis? Can you let me know in our document, please, my friend? Sami Zayn defeated Gunther. We see his wife and child. We see Chad Gable, who I think is going to get a little jealous of him and eventually attack him. As Just Marquis says, is he a transitional champ for Gable? I think they're going to feud. But my God, Sami Zayn gets another WrestleMania moment, and I think it's a good one. Now, I understand there are a lot of people that say right result, wrong person, like Gable should have won, but I think that's what the catalyst for Gable to gain some sort of edge is. I think that that's the catalyst for him to really finally show something that we haven't seen out of him. He gets all those comparisons to Kurt Angle, but we haven't seen the crazy Chad Gable quite yet. And I think this could push him over the edge. could have been his, it should have been me. And, you know, he can sit there and say, well, you can't beat Gunther. I know that. But bro, Gable couldn't beat him either. He had his shot. And I hope that's what Sammy eventually says to him. Like, no, you couldn't beat him. I did. What a match. What a match. Ganiel says, Gunther wins Money in the Bank surely after tonight. SRS, you rock. I don't even think that man needs to win Money in the Bank. Because I don't think that man would want to win that way. Nothing about his character or personality has screamed Money in the Bank guy. Now, I get it. I understand it's completely legal within the context of kayfabe and pro wrestling and all that stuff. But he has always been a competition guy and a dude that is like, I want to face you straight up and handle this shit. So if Cody wins tomorrow night, I think Gunther is an initial challenger, assuming he is on Raw and SmackDown, or a challenger to Seth. Eventually, they got to revisit that 2023 Royal Rumble finish, right? Where Gunther, the heel, made it all the way to the end, and Seth or Cody Rhodes, number 30, the babyface, and he had basically a full match, but Gunther's worn down. It was such a phenomenal dynamic. And I feel like they will eventually revisit that story. Maybe that'll be a big one. Maybe that will be a big one. Stephen Harden said, do you see Gunther now getting into the world title picture and possibly winning again in Germany? I would definitely imagine him being in the world title picture in a number of the European shows that they've got. I think that guy's the perfect pro wrestler. And I thought that Sami Zayn was a perfect opponent, a perfect underdog opponent. And like, to me, what I told Gunther when I spoke with him was everything he says and does, I believe. Every chop, I believe. Every move, I believe. Every promo, I believe. When he tells Imperium, well, you better start winning, I believe that. Whenever he says that somebody gave him a run for his money, I believe that. Parker Hines says, I could see Gunther RVD, his Money in the Bank at Berlin. Yeah. You know, I could see that as well. I could certainly see that as well. Sideshow Bo says, I'm probably in the minority, but I didn't love the Gunther-Sammy match. Gunther looked dumb, constantly distracting himself with Sammy's wife and not getting the job done. Okay, so I looked at that. That's sort of his WrestleMania. That's sort of his pageantry. That's his stepping out and, you know, spreading the wings and doing all that, you know, he doesn't necessarily do for WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't get necessarily the crazy entrance or anything like that. He loves to talk his shit, but specifically here, he's doing it a little bit more. It's his big night. Maybe I'm just reading too much into that. Joe says, not surprised Gunther dropped to Sammy. It was a phenomenal match. I think that they'll put the world heavyweight title on him in Berlin. I could definitely see that. Man, him and Drew in that situation would be good too. But I think he is the perfect foil for Cody. Because I imagine if Roman Reigns loses to Cody, like, that is the guy that we can immediately pose as a threat. And honestly, if Gunther won it 1 month later, I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it. Crazy 101 says, for the thing, do you know if it's positive or negative? Guys, listen, y'all got to stop. What is the percent chance you have another live tonight? I don't know. I'm not the one who has the power to put this out there. Because it's either an it will or it won't thing. That's it. I mean, there's... Sorry. Listen, what I'm not going to do is deal with people bitching at me about being vague when this is like the only thing I've been vague about like in the last year or two. For the thing, is it positive or negative? It depends on who you'll ask. Depends on who you'd ask. Huh. Anywho, Sami Zayn dropped Gunther with a brain buster. Now, see, I know a lot of you aren't familiar with like his run before WWE, and that's most people aren't, right? He portrayed the El Generico character, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and one of his finishers was a brain buster on the top rope. So he would get people vertically. He would drop them basically on the shoulder, neck type of stuff. And they would bounce off. And it's not something we've seen. Maybe we've seen it once. Have we seen it in the past? By the way, Luis, hit me with those number of days with the title, if you don't mind, my friend. I feel like maybe we saw this one other time in WWE, but it was the perfect thing. It's like when you, it was the double tap on Zombieland is what this was. It was him going and doing everything that he could and everything that he had to do to beat this. I mean, I think he was the final boss before The Rock showed up. Like, wasn't nobody beating him. Nobody was beating that fella. And he went and did it, and did it with the two Helluva kicks that followed. Although I kind of felt like maybe they just should have had him win with that brainbuster. But you know what? Then I feel like people might have expected to him to start winning with that. And that's not going to be the case. This is a WrestleMania moment level thing. And they're not going to be doing that very, very often. I was surprised they still did it tonight. And that makes me wonder, okay, if that got approved, I'm sure a pile driver can get approved, right? Like, we still haven't found a way to see that. Oh, man. Gunther held the IC title for 666 days per cage match. Best Intercontinental Champion of all time. Pour one out for that reign. He beat that dumbass honky-tonk man's record. And let me tell you, name me what, you know what happens when I say, hey, what match from Honky Tonk Man's reign do you remember? You know which one you tell me? The Ultimate Warrior. The one where he lost in 20 seconds. Because you can't remember anything about that reign. It was him getting DQ'd and counted out all the time. That's how it always happened in the 80s. But his reign sucked. Sucked. We had the attendance announcement. Would be handy to have that number right in front of me. But we had Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis, who has killed it as a GM, coming out. And they announced 72,543. NXT set an attendance record today, too. Fightful broke that news. They set their all-time NXT attendance record. And they had some big shows to beat out for that as well. Main event time. Oh, man. This match started out so slow. And then it was cooking. But let's talk about what happened before that. Let's talk about the entrances. Because as we timed it, because I've got it. Man, I got to time that. That one. Gotta. 16 plus minutes in entrances. Then from the first note of music to the ring bell was just over 20 minutes. That's some boxing stuff where they're killing time to get to a certain point, except they had factored this time in. Fightful Select had reported that like 45 minutes was budgeted for this. And they ended up going quite long. But a lot of the questions about The Rock were answered here. After he showed up and had the Jinder Mahal thing and he was sucking wind a little bit, people were like, okay, maybe a tag match is better. And that you could say this is his best match in 20 years at this point. It's maybe WrestleMania 20. Because I didn't think either of the Cena matches were better than this one. I went from thinking this was way too slow paced to thinking, oh, this is going good. And, I think it was budgeted for 45 minutes in the ring. They hit their time 44:34. The Rock worked a 44-minute match at 50-plus years old. I don't care if it's a tag team match. Don't care what it is. He is 50-something years old working a 44-minute match. Good for him. And I mean, knowing The Rock, I mean, I don't know The Rock, but knowing The Rock and his personality type, that's probably something that he felt like proving to himself as well. And I liked what Pat McAfee said, because listen, I love Michael Cole's work, but Michael Cole said, well, he hasn't had a real match in 10 plus years. He beat Eric Rowan in 6 seconds, so we haven't seen him really wrestle in over 10 years. And Pat McAfee goes, yeah, but why are you holding that against him? And yeah, within kayfabe, like me sitting here talking about this, that's one thing. But within kayfabe, yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing that he beat Eric Rowan in 6 seconds. In fact, it's quite promising towards the prospects of his possible successes that he beat a guy in 6 seconds. Elite Biscuit said, the twin pedigrees popped me. Also feels like they lined up all the bangers for tomorrow. Possibly. I'll tell you what popped me. Michael Cole calling Tommaso Ciampa's finisher the pedigree, an ode to Triple H. Apex Caliber says, love the crowd, acknowledge them. So The Rock came out with that People's Championship belt, which is very similar to the custom belt that he had, or well, he didn't have, but was talked about and brought up, in the late 90s, but never made it to TV. It was on some video games and stuff like that. The Rock tweeted me about it once because I had asked him a question and he got back to me. And I can't really remember what that was, but The Rock gets the pin. The Rock took a rock bottom from Cody through an announce table. The Rock seemingly emerged uninjured. I think he's doing some more stuff. I'm going to be finding out an awful lot more in the immediate future. Stephen Marcucci says, does Rock pin indicate a future title match with Rock and Cody? I would think so, but here's what I don't like about that. If The Rock is the final boss, I don't think he's Cody's final boss, even though he just beat Cody. I think he's Roman's final boss. And if Rock wins that title, like from Cody, we're in the same position. We don't need the title with a Rock-Roman situation. We just don't need it. Tony says, planted a seed for tomorrow with the spear on The Rock. That was great, too. Going from the table spot to the barricade break was also really, really great stuff. James Travis says, love that WWE is finally calling it pro wrestling, as do I. So tell me about some of the things that you guys are really liking about this match and this angle so far and what you guys got. Man, we still got a bunch of super chats, humper chats from this one. Tony, we've got a chat saying they're setting up for Roman to win, unpredictable, and says we are getting more Bloodline members tomorrow. Now, we do have Luis saying that Dwayne is saying to expect surprises tomorrow on the presser. Okay. I don't know if like Jacob Fatu is necessarily the way to go there or Tama Tonga. Hopefully the crowd knows them and pops for them if they were to come in. But surprises for who? Surprises from who? Pat says, with Seth likely taking back-to-back losses, contract news. Haven't heard of an update yet, but I will be asking. I'll probably try to ask about it midweek whenever everybody's kind of calmed down, relaxing a little bit. It was a really good show. Drew going to murder Seth tomorrow? Yeah, I think so. I think Drew beats the friggin' brakes off of Seth in that match, and it is a prove your point type of thing. Because one of the important parts, I feel like, of Drew's character is that he's not wrong. He's just not wrong about things. What else we got? Oh, Cody definitely finishes the story tomorrow in an overbooked spectacular, and I can't wait. I hope so. I want Avengers Endgame tomorrow. I want the craziest, dumbest bullshit possible tomorrow. I'm past the point of, you know what I want? I want a great wrestling clinic, and then I want Cody Rhodes to pin Roman Reigns clean. I don't care about that with this match because Roman Reigns as a character hasn't played by those rules. And now he doesn't have to play by those rules. They've established a storyline reason why he doesn't. Not only is he not going to play by those rules, he doesn't have to. He can do whatever the hell he wants tomorrow. So give me the most psychotic, overbooked, ridiculous bullshit of all time. Just make it make sense and make it fun and make it look good. And then give me Crossroads, pin, whoa, finish a story, yada, yada. Let's go. Seth Rollins to take some time off after Mania and come back heel to challenge Cody. Feels like that will be the match, says KE775. That's another one. I mean, it's sometimes difficult to remember that because of Seth Rollins' integration into this story, that he was the guy that Cody faced three times to open up his WWE return and faced him in the pec tear match as well. Cody with black hair tomorrow. I'd be surprised. Your thoughts on Cody getting booed? He only got booed because he broke up the people's elbow, which did end up beating him. Still calling Priest, cashing in on Cody tomorrow. I think that'd be a bad way to end WrestleMania. Maybe on Monday he tries. SRS and all of the chat, what happens when Cody loses tomorrow? Then you have to imagine this ends only one way, career versus career. Well, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. Unless, I mean, listen, if they can keep The Rock, Cody, and Roman around, they're going to do that. Daniel says, Philly is a different animal, starting to think if Cody wins, they turn on him and get booed. Possible? No. Okay. Possible? Yeah, it's possible. Is it going to happen? No, I don't think so. Crazy101 said, percentage of Dustin showing up tomorrow. Well, he just called out Samoa Joe for an AEW world title shot, so I'm going to say no. Plus, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, reported that his deal goes until the fall this year. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We still have quite a few to get to, so let's hear what you guys like and what you guys want to talk about. Do we see Tama Tonga tomorrow? I wouldn't mind it, but you can't rely on your audience to know who that is because he's never been really exposed to a grand national audience. Apex Caliber says, I won't be shocked to see Roman retain Jacob Fatu. I mean, maybe if they debut them as like, don't you know who that is? Like, and don't necessarily expect the audience to know who they are. Or I could be wrong and maybe they do. Byron Taguchi says, love your coverage since I became an annual Fightful Select member. Yeah, a reminder, guys. If you don't want to pay $5 a month, you can pay $54 a year. Save yourself a little bit of money, and we greatly appreciate that. It says, thanks for all the hard work you do. If Roman retains, who is next? Gunther? Priest? I feel like they're running out of choices. That's the thing. They're out of options there. From a babyface perspective, it needs to be Cody. Cody needs to win tomorrow. Absolutely needs to win tomorrow. But you know what? I don't know. Maybe Jacob Fatu wouldn't be such a surprise showing up in this match tomorrow. The more I think about it and the more messages I get. Will says, I love how Cody had the same look at the end. Like he did at the end last year. Yeah, intentional. All that was missing was a rubber chicken. That's it. I thought that was great. I can see Cody winning and Rock taking the lay from Roman for dropping the ball, setting up an easy W for them. Michael, I'm so glad you saw this or said this. That's my thing. So I've often brought up this. You'll watch documentaries and Hulk Hogan says, oh, well, you know, when I lost to Warrior, people were watching me leave, not watching him celebrate. That's bullshit. When Warrior won, people were very excited. People loved Warrior. Of course, he wasn't as big as Hogan, whatever. However, people are going to be watching Roman after Cody wins, after he wins. So Cody's going to celebrate. He's going to do his thing. This is fantasy booking here. And they pay him back to the ring, and Roman is having an existential crisis, and The Rock is just standing there, and he's looking down at him. And maybe Paul Heyman still tries to put the lay on Roman, and then The Rock just stops him, or he takes it, and he just carries it in his hand. I will say this again. Rock and Roman do not need a championship. Their championship is head of the table, the tribal chief. And that is because of the work that they have done, that Jimmy and Jay did, that Solo has done, Paul Heyman, and then the work that Rosie, Jamal, Umaga, Samu, Fatu, Yokozuna, Rikishi, everybody in their family has done for decades and decades and decades. That title is very important. Taco Biter says, I'd love to see Night 2 be Cody thanking Roman for lifting the rules on him. He says, you've got family, but you've also got a lot of enemies as well. Out comes Seth and the entire locker room dressed in Shield garb. Surround the ring, force a 1v1. I think that'd be cool. Sage says, if Drew wins, that likely mean a new contract is signed. Would they give him a short reign if not? I had heard a couple weeks ago he hadn't signed. So I would imagine if not, they've got the Scotland show, what, June? They could work something out there. I mean, I think he wants to stay. I mean, I would if I saw the type of booking that they were doing. My God. Like, they're very clearly got some confidence in him. If Roman wins, we sigh, says Just Mask. That's great. Corey David says, not NXT looking real promising. Oba is the future. Yeah, he is fantastic. Vic says, Rock says you failed. I acknowledge you, gave you every advantage, and you failed. That's how I see it going. I agree, Vic. I think that's a slapper. I'll tell you a slapper. Our dude Trey Cash dropping a $100 super chat. Thank you, my friend. He says, Sean, not going to lie, I'm one of those who want to see Roman retain, but after Cody got pinned, it's almost a foregone conclusion. He's winning tomorrow. You think Roman will really step away like he said in his doc? And I always appreciate you. Well, thank you, Trey. I always appreciate you. You're very generous. We are largely publicly funded. We don't make a lot of money on clicks or shit like that. It is subscriptions, donations, and sponsors. And that goes a long way. Thank you so much, Trey, sincerely. I think Roman might like be absent. Maybe The Rock's around here and there. And in absence, The Rock sort of takes over the bloodline and has them do his bidding for him and that type of thing. And then Rock or Roman maybe pops back up around SummerSlam, starts a program with somebody. Because I think, didn't he tell McAfee he's going to be around for a while? I believe that's what he had said. So, I think it's possible that he's absent for a while, but he's always, not always, he's often kind of absent for a while. Am I right? I'll ask our moderator, Luis, to check the Humper Chats just one more time. I'll give you guys the last opportunity. Get your Super Chats, get your Humper Chats in. I'd love to know what you guys thought of the first night of WrestleMania. Now, I see a lot of people saying that Pat did say that Roman's still battling his leukemia. Well, yeah, he's always going to. Always going to. He's still on potent medication. Potent medication, from what I understand. Leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. Man, it has been a long week. It's been an exhausting one. Oh, man. Jordan Scott says, Naomi, Jade, and Bianca as a trio is such a look. She called them bad, baddie, and the baddest. Not bad. You got me, you son of a bitch. After that ending shot of Cody, I'm more sure that he's winning, overcoming all the shenanigans. I hope so, brother. I hope so, brother. Guys, listen, if I need to go live again for any reason, tonight I will. I'll do it in my other studio right over there. I want to say thank you to everybody that I met this week. It was really great. Thank you to those of you who came to the Monster Factory. I managed Shaza McKenzie this past week. We didn't win. I haven't won since I came back. Okay. Well, hold on 1 second. Here we go. I'm waiting for Luis to type it out. They announced that the Young Bucks will show the footage from All In for the first time. That's what I heard. Y'all want to hang around for a few more minutes? Yeah. What the fuck I'm talking about, brother? Isn't that shit insane? Now, there's going to be a lot of discourse about this. I'm going to have some more on Fightful Select when I can. But listen, I was killing time during this show to see if this would actually happen. I had a contact near WBD, and actually I had a person who's not even in the business that's like, man, Tony's wild for this one. I don't know if he'd want me to say his name. He just texts me. He knows who he is. And now they're like, it's got to be some Bucks BS bit. There's no way they're showing the legit footage. When I started to ask about this immediately tonight, when I got that message, they at least seemed to be intimating that it wasn't a troll. At least immediately. Now, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. They do have the footage. The footage exists. I can't say that people in AEW have seen it, because there's a lot of people I've talked to that I've asked, hey, have you seen the footage? And they're like, no, but it does exist. Jordan said that AEW said, oh, you want to talk shit? Bet. I mean, listen, you want to draw a number? You do some crazy bullshit like this. You do some crazy bullshit like this. And I don't hate it. I don't love it, because it's going to lead to an awful lot of toxicity, assuming that it is true. The footage is implied to be the All-In footage of CM Punk and Jack Perry. Now, I didn't see the segment. Does anybody want to tell me what the segment necessarily was? I would love to hear it. Actually, here we go. I'm gonna pull it up right now. I got somebody sending it to me. Yep. It is a graphic right here. Bam, it says, the Young Bucks will present backstage footage from All In and will discuss for the first time. So I'm going to tweet this, but yeah, give me a moment to tweet this. Actually, you know, holy fucking shit, man. Now, there's no way that they think it makes Punk look good, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't run it. They wouldn't put it out there. And when I asked about Tony Khan's demeanor after the Punk interview, I was told, like, surprisingly chill. But I also know that AEW has long felt that they have, like, a pretty open and shut case in that situation if they ever wanted to pursue it legally. But what they decided to do was sever ties, move on. Right? I'm pretty sure everybody will be on a normal one. Yeah. Mike said they did exactly what SRS said they should do. You create buzz. You find out ways to create buzz based on the content and talent you have available. And they have that content available. So when I went on the air tonight, Punk says, is that even legal? I feel like it'll be a swerve. It is legal. Yes, it is completely legal. They do not need to have CM Punk under contract to show footage of him. Do I think they're trolling? I think there's a possibility they're trolling. There's a possibility, but I don't think they are. Because if you do that bait and switch, I don't know what the benefit. There's less of a benefit in doing a bait and switch and troll than just showing it. And I'm going to write a little bit about this on Fightful Select because I'm already getting messages about this. And sorry, it's insane. I know a lot of people are swearing it's a troll. It's a troll. At least in the company, the people I'm talking to, they weren't of the belief that it was a troll. But that's why I came on the air and I said, we should know about it soon, but I couldn't believe that it would actually happen. And I apologize for the dead air. I'm stunned by this, right? Like, I mean, you guys saw the reaction in the chat. Like, what the hell? Holy shit. Will we ever get the Brawl Out footage? I highly doubt that. I don't know if there is Brawl Out footage. I'm not sure that there's Brawl Out footage. There's Brawl In footage. There's Brawl In footage, but not Brawl Out footage. Again, apologies. You guys are watching me do my work right now. So, I'm so sorry for the dead air. Whew. Insane. And I'm trying to work through the processes of how, you know, they make sure all this is okay. I mean, the Bucks are about to have a match with a couple of Punk's friends. And I don't think that they would do that without running it by, you know, those guys. DNC Digital says, Sean sent notes from the press conference. I will read those in a moment. I only ask about legalities because weren't there NDAs? Well, I mean, they may feel like he broke that NDA. D. Vargas sent in some notes. And, he's done an incredible amount of work for, like, on the scrum. So, guys, check that out. It's too much to really go through right now, but DNC Digital on Twitter. I'm sorry, I'm just flabbergasted. I'm shocked. Shocked. Unreal, man. Fucking wrestling. So I remember in 2019 when me and Denise like first got on the air together, I was like, wow, new media deals. They're on Fox. One of the craziest years ever. Then 2020 happened and it was COVID and there were all these releases. Craziest year ever. 2021, all the Vince stuff and craziest year ever, you know, Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson and CM Punk are switching and returning. 2022, it gets crazier. 2023 gets crazier. My God. Jacob Fatu had a replacement at GCW Clusterfuck. I would not be shocked if he signed with WWE. Not in the least now. Not after the last couple of days. We are going to have significant updates. Okay. I'm going to say this, guys. It ain't a fucking troll. Wow. It ain't a troll. This is how I felt like after I watched Southland Tales for the first time. Don't watch it. Don't go and watch it. After this, you're going to Wikipedia it, and you're going to be like, oh my God, Sarah Michelle Gellar and The Rock and Sean William Scott. And oh my God, there's a lot of people in that movie. Don't watch that movie. But what you're seeing now is how I felt after I watched that movie. I am in disbelief. Any news on Mania 41 venue? It's supposed to be Minnesota. Zach Schimmel says, where does all this drama end? I'd love for this all to move on. So guys, not to shill my own stuff, but the week that the Royal Rumble came out, we did a CM Punk timeline. And we broke down how all the stuff that's still going on today all started at the Royal Rumble in 2014. CM Punk, concussed, staph infection, all that stuff. He walks out. He gets fired. He does the interview with Colt Cabana. They get sued. Punk is upset at Cabana, allegedly, over having lunch with some WWE people. Won't pay for his legal bills. Cabana and Punk sue each other. They hate each other. Punk goes back to AEW. He and Colt Cabana have issues. Some people stick up for Colt. Some rumors get started about Punk and Colt, and it's a snowball. It all started at Royal Rumble 2014 and the disintegrating relationships around it. Pat says, this is why Fightful is the final boss of wrestling media. I did not expect this to happen. Does the graphic actually say it's CM Punk footage? No, it doesn't. But I've been hit with a pretty heavy, like, they don't false advertise. And Grindstone's right. It says, because there are people talking about defamation. It isn't defamation. It's footage. It's footage. Listen, it's okay. I know a lot of people didn't, like, you don't go to broadcast school. And that's okay. You don't have to. But, like, the legalities of this are pretty clear. Pretty clear. You're able to do this. Yeah. DNC Digital says there are two important ones I sent separately. Let me check that, DNC Digital. When asked about Brock at one point, there was a conversation about the Royal Rumble. But he's not gone from WWE, just at home being Brock. Who was it that said that his Hall of Fame ring has an insignia inside? Heyman said Triple H can decide what was in there. He won't reveal what it was, but it means a lot to him. That's nice. Crazy 101 says AEW got receipts. Boy, this is wild. Fucking wrestling, man. Wrestling. Guys, I want to thank you all so much. Well, Dynamite's going to be wild this week. Tune in and join me here tomorrow night. And hell, just join me on Fightful Select in a few minutes. I got to go write an article. We got our Discord over on FightfulSelect.com as well. That's where I am a lot more than Twitter now. Come hang out with me. Until next time, we're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.